Thank you. That song sets the stage for the text that stands before us today. Because we continue I guess we really actually today draws to conclusion our series of sermons on God's promises to us. And again, trying to look at them in a new and different way, not in terms of you know, just things that we can claim and use to our benefit, but promises that enable us to live our lives fully and well and completely. And today we find ourselves looking at God's promise of freedom given to us, that God gives us the ability to make decisions, to make good decisions, hopefully more often than not, occasionally to make some bad decisions. But God gives us that freedom to choose for ourselves, to choose for our lives, to choose how it is that we want to live. And so we find this interesting passage in the book of Deuteronomy in the 30th chapter. Now, of all the places in the world to speak about freedom and to speak about having the ability to make choices, this is the book of Deuteronomy, the book of the retelling of the laws. Deuteronomy is just chock full of what you should do, what you shouldn't do, and what you're allowed to do, and what you're not allowed to do, and so on. It was a book filled with all sorts of laws and rules and regulations. But towards the end of it, in the 30th chapter, beginning with the 15th verse, we hear these words. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if you turn your hearts away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now, choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. May the Lord bless us a portion from his holy word. Now, at first glance, this seems to be a fairly easy kind of passage when you look at it. Life, death. Which one will I choose? Well-being or catastrophe? Which one will I choose? It seems as if the writer of Deuteronomy is giving us a simple, easy choice to make in our lives. But we all know that choices that we make in our lives oftentimes are not so easily made. That the choices between doing what we hope is right and the choice of avoiding what we think is wrong is oftentimes a very, very challenging choice for us to make, a very difficult choice for us to make. And things aren't as always straightforward as we would want them to be. Oftentimes the decisions that we make have a great deal of struggle involved in them because we're not always quite sure what the right decision is and how it is that we need to decide in that situation. Because certainly any of us would choose life in any given situation. Any of us would choose, as some translations call it, prosperity or well-being is another translation that we would choose. But it's not always that easy. And it's not always that straightforward. As many of you know, this was a bit of a rough week for me. Lost a very dear friend, a good man, my friend Henry Moore, who many of you have met on different occasions, and some of you have known him well. And Henry was faced with a decision. And it was a hard decision to make. When the oncologist came back to him and said, "Here's your options. You can do more treatments, but this is an incurable cancer. The treatments might extend your life a month, 2 months, maybe 3 months, but they're not going to cure you." How do you decide? If it were you, how would you decide? I had the honor of being with Henry and a few others when he made the decision to forego further treatments. I don't think any of us in the room wanted to lose him earlier than we absolutely had to. None of us wanted to lose him at all. But we knew that Henry was making his decision based upon his understanding of God's blessings. He didn't choose death over life. He chose life over death. He chose to live the days that he had in such a manner that he could spend it with those he loved dearly in a way that was as positive as it could be given that situation. He didn't have much time. From diagnosis to death was 45 days. But what Henry did with those 45 days was absolutely incredible to me. Taking care of loved ones, of family, of friends, encouraging others. You know, just a few scant days before Henry died, I got a text message on my phone on a Sunday morning. He wanted to encourage me in my preaching. Here he was, in pain, in turmoil, facing his own imminent death, but he chose life. He chose to do what God wanted him to do. He chose to encourage others and to lift others up. And I can count probably 100 stories like that, of ways that he, even in the last days of his life, sought And he sought to find what the writer of Deuteronomy called prosperity or goodness or blessings, number of different translations for that word. He chose the way of God. He chose the way of love and mercy, of grace, of gratitude. He chose a way of letting go of this life that helped so many, many others to live this life more fully, more completely. You talk about prosperity, you talk about blessings, and you know, and in this generation we think of that in terms of finances or, you know, possessions, you know, the bigger the house or the nicer the neighborhood or the more money in the bank account, or, you know, we measure prosperity in that kind of way. Well, in Henry's life, I doubt that that was the way you could measure it. I mean, there isn't a firefighter in this county who's going to ever get rich. But if you measure it in terms of love given and love received, he attained his goal of having prosperity, of having blessing. There was over 400 cars, fire engines, apparatus in the procession from the church to the cemetery. And my hunch is there probably would have been a few hundred more if people were able to. The writer of Deuteronomy is trying to help us to see that we have a freedom, that God gives us the freedom to choose in our lives how it is we're going to live, how it is we're going to react to situations, to choose in our lives what's going to be important, what's going to be the priority in our lives. Freedom is wonderful, but it comes with so much responsibility as well. Choose this day whether you choose life or death, whether you choose curse or blessing. Seems so simple, but it isn't. It's a decision that we have to make every day and in virtually every situation we find ourselves. How do we choose? Do we choose the way of God's love? Do we choose to live our lives in a manner that follows the path that He knows is best for us, no matter how difficult that path may be? Do we choose this day life, a life that is found in God, a life that is not just measured in years, but is measured in eternity? Choose this day. Choose every day. Choose the way of life. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, You have chosen life. You have chosen the more difficult way in the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ, in Your willingness to take on human form and to take on the form of a servant, even with a willingness to die upon the cross, that You have chosen life for us, even at the price of the death of Your Son, Jesus Christ. O Heavenly Father, help us to always choose the way of life and of love, to follow You no matter how difficult the path may seem, to walk in Your way, to be Your people, living lives of grace and mercy and love, and finding our true prosperity in the amplification of love in each of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.